The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Welcome back to another episode of Small Biz Ahead. Gene, this episode, we're going to be talking to a funeral home director.
Interesting. Do you know that the funeral home industry is one of the most fastest growing industry for female entrepreneurs?
Really?
Yeah. I read about that like a few months ago.
There's been this huge...
When you think about it, more women are being driven to the funeral home business. First of all, it's certainly a great business, and it's a
it's not going anywhere.
It's only going to grow. But it is a business that really speaks towards the talents of nurturing, if I can say. It's females have been found to have just a better ability. I'm generalizing here, but of connecting and making people feel more. You're adding comfort. Yeah. Particularly in a time of grief. And so there have been female business owners who are opening up funeral homes because it is a chance where you can, provide that kind of, that kind of a service. And it's become more popular among females. So interesting.
Interesting.
Yep.
All right. Well, today's question is from Albert. So it's a man in Tennessee, and he's a funeral home director. And he writes, "I'm getting ready to retire in the next 5 years. I've known for some time that my children don't want to take over my business, so I don't have anyone to pass it on to."
They're crazy.
"Should I close up shop or try to sell it? I own the building." Okay, So first of all, I love that this guy is thinking 5 years ahead.
Yes.
Like, how many people do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. We always say that whenever I meet clients or like they want to sell their business. You're saying, well, you could sell it today, but if you want to give yourself 5 years to sell it, you will sell it for a lot more money if you do the right things, So he's planning an exit now and he's looking ahead, and that's exactly the way he wants to be doing it.
And he owns the building.
So that's great. And so he should be operating the business. We should all be operating our businesses every day as if we're going to sell it for the maximum price tomorrow, but that's always not reality. So he's got some time to prepare himself. Owning the building, of course, is great. That's his asset.
Yeah, because he actually has an asset other than the name.
He's got his name. He's got his location. Without looking at his books, I'm curious if it's profitable or not. Hopefully, it is. If you're a funeral home and he has employees, again, I don't know all this information about him, but a lot, you have to get certifications. And go through like various.
I'm assuming there's a lot of training involved.
There is. So I'm assuming it's not just him that's in the, he's got employees that he's spent and put through this train. It's like an asset for anybody who wants to get any female, by the way, right? Who wants to get into the funeral home business. And like we were just talking about 2 minutes ago, it's not like the guy's like running like a blacksmith shop. What I mean? This is like a business that is viable. So I would not be like closing down that business at all. That seems to be the kind of business that's very, very sellable. I would be going to the National Funeral Home Directors Association. I'd be going to any other industry related associations and putting the word out that you might be interested in selling in a few years, or if there's anybody of interest. Because if you want to sell 5 years from now, I don't think there's anything putting you back from putting that word out and working with a potential buyer over a couple of years to build the value while you're still getting paid to do it, and then transition it off to somebody. If you don't want to go into your local, your industry association, you go to there's brokers, business brokers. So Biz Buy Sell, you can put that in the show notes. It's BizBuySell is a great website for anybody that's looking to buy or sell a business. And with not only a lot of content and information that's available, but also they're associated with the American Business Brokers Associations that can provide brokers that will sell. They get a commission, obviously, but that's another option. So I would not be shutting down the business unless he really thinks that there's no future in it.
You would sell the business with the building.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, that depends on the transaction. Depends what he could get for either or. So if he, if you're proposing to just break the building out as a separate thing, sell that to somebody else, that's certainly an option too, if somebody else wants to do something with the property. But he's got, again, I don't know if he has any mortgage on this business either, because that's going to play into his decision. But he's got lots of options. So I guess his question is, should he just wind it down or not? I would sell it if it's, yeah, if it's an ongoing, viable, you know, business. This is definitely one industry that I would definitely do that.
Is this the type of thing where he'd have to say, why don't I sell it now and work for the new owner?
See, a lot of times, yeah, you know, when you sell businesses, it's 9 times out of 10 when I see clients selling their businesses, everybody thinks their business is worth more than it really is. That's like human nature.
Yeah, of course.
And then so many people think they're going to just sell a business and wipe their hands, collect their check and go down to, you know, the Caribbean. You know what I mean? And that never happens either. It's always worth less than you think it is, because a lot of times people just sell it prematurely, don't have a chance to build up some of the things that would increase value. And then most of the time when people sell it, they're asked to stay on board, you know, and continue on because there's relationships that are there. Having said that, that's one thing if it's a service business. Like if I were to sell my lousy business, whoever would be mentally ill enough to buy my business would I'm sure want to keep me around for a couple of years because I have relationships with all my clients and, you know, and all of that. I have to tell you, depending on his brand, I don't know many people that really have like ongoing relationships with their funeral director. I mean, I've heard of like, you know, your accountant, your lawyer, your, you know, and even your grocer. But, you know, the funeral director seems like the last person in the world you actually. Well, we do. We go into our local. We have a local market and we know the people that are there and all that. Stop. But funeral director.
You're so old school.
Yeah, it is old school. But it's not a I don't know if that's really a something that you say like, oh, I've got a really good relationship with my funeral director. He's, you know, he's advising me on death all the time. So I don't know if it's a business,
family.
But if it's a, but the question is it a business that you can just pull yourself out of and, well, and I think, you know, without having to work it?
If you're doing more, like there's not a lot of sales in a funeral home, I'm assuming, like, well, you're not working on keeping clients or
like repeat business.
Yeah. Like you know? A lot of it's word of mouth.
Let's see, like you're selling into the Soprano family. Like, yeah, boy, these guys, they keep getting more and more business. You know,
it's really all about customer service.
It is.
Like
it
it's all word of mouth. I mean, you're not doing ads. You're not.
Yeah. I mean, some people, some funeral homes do advertise. You know, the other source, by the way, that I mentioned before is if you're reselling, which most do, they resell the caskets and all the accessories. There are large companies that make this stuff.
What? Reselling caskets?
Well, when I say resell, you're selling caskets, coffins and all that. I mean, that's part of the funeral home, what
I
they do.
I thought you meant like used.
Oh, no. I didn't mean that. I meant just selling it. And they, you know, these are made by large manufacturers. And they also might have contacts in the industry. There are national brands of funeral homes that like buy up as, you know, individual ones. And then they've got their own models that they put that, you know, put themselves
into.
Well,
I'm assuming if you are a small business owner who owns a funeral home, you're spending most of your time managing your staff and training your staff.
Yes.
You're not out there like selling your services to people.
That's exactly
so
right.
So if someone were to buy your business and say, we want you to stay on for a year, you would mostly be training people and making sure they're certified and what they need to be.
Assuming that the person that's buying your business does not have much experience in the funeral business, they'll definitely want you to stay along. But if you sell it out to like a large chain
or
a competitor or somebody that's already in the business, they probably have their own way of doing things. And, you know, you might be able to get a quicker exit than elsewhere. Could you ever do that? Did you ever be in like the funeral home business? Freaks me out.
Maybe. I mean, the thing is, I feel like they are in the business of making people feel better.
They are.
That's very
important.
I don't know. That's kind of appealing. Like at the end of the day, like you made something a little bit better for someone during a terrible time.
Yeah,
like I
sure.
think that you could feel good about that business.
Could you? There's a funeral home near us that the people live. It's a house. It's out of a house. And the people live in the house.
Oh,
and then they operate their business.
I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't do that.
You know what I would do if I were running a funeral home? I would have just all therapy pets there. Like people would come in and I'd be like, do you want a bunny? Do you want a dog? Do you want a kitten? And do you want a pig? And
a great idea.
Just like,
it's a great idea.
You could just go sit in the room with your loved one who's passed and like you have your therapy.
That's so sweet.
You
could partner with like the ASPCA or a local animal rescue. And And then they I think that's yeah. really nice. Who knows if you even offer pet burial services as well. That's a potential too. There's a lot that you can obviously do. I'd be a little freaked out living in the same house as a bunch of dead bodies. Have you ever seen a dead body before? You must have like
At funerals. But that's after they've been like embalmed and all that and dressed and whatnot. But I've never seen one like
I've seen like four in my entire life that weird. So it's just a whole weird thing. And yet what's really crazy about it is that everybody dies. Yep. So it's a huge industry and like nobody really kind of talks about it, you know, but it just is what it is. So I was a big fan of 6 Feet Under, the HBO show.
Yeah, that was a good show. All right. Well, this podcast took a bit of a dark turn. So we'll be right back with Gene's Word of
Brains. We'll try to brighten things up.
Which we're hoping is, a little cheerier.
More of a picker-upper. But whatever, stay in the funeral home business. I'm sure if you work hard enough at it, you can kill it.
We'll be right back.
This podcast is brought to you by The Hartford. When the unexpected strikes, The Hartford strikes back for over 1 million small business customers with property, liability, and workers' compensation insurance. Check out The Hartford Small Business Insurance at thehartford.com.
So we're back. We're going to talk about Gene's Word of Brilliance. But first, Gene, what do you recommend listening to right now?
Oh, I am glad you asked that question, Elizabeth. I have been listening 24/7, at least by all my waking hours, the soundtrack to Hamilton. That's what obsessed. I recommend that you're obsessed with it. I have it on Spotify. I got one of the songs, the big song, My Shot, which is
I was obsessed with that like 2 years ago, though. Where have you been?
You know what? Listen, it takes me a little bit of time to get caught up, okay? It's just, I'm a little slow here, but it's only 2 years out. It's not like I'm telling you to listen to the soundtrack of like Sound of Music or Hello Dolly. and I listened to one of the songs and it was great. And I was like, yeah, I'll listen to the whole, whatever. And I've been addicted to this and it is genius and it's so great. And it's not just rap. There's a lot of traditional like sort of Broadway music in it. Melodies are absolutely gorgeous.
And yet he refuses to buy a ticket to see it on Broadway.
Yeah, I'm not going to spend $700 for a ticket to see it. I like it, but I like it. I'm not insane. And I'm dying to see it on stage. And I will see it when it travels the country, if it comes to Philly, although I'm sure it's going to be sold out in a big way when on the national tour. But
you don't have any connections. You can't.
No, I have zero connections. And then it's funny. People say like, oh, well, Lin-Manuel Miranda, all the original cast, they're not going to be in whatever. But there are so many talented people, these performers.
Yeah. Oh,
like I have no worries about seeing an equally exceptional show, in Kansas City. And not, it's just because it's not in New York.
Think about it, though. So you think about people that are on Broadway. There's so many movies and TV shows out there that are terrible.
Yes.
And there's a ton of them. On Broadway, there's like, 20 shows running?
I know.
So everyone is good.
They're like amazing. And what's amazing about whenever you see a Broadway show is that for every one performer that you see on that show, there's literally 50 that are almost as good as this performer, if not as good. That one performer got the job for whatever reason.
I just saw Book of Mormon in Hartford.
Oh, God, I'm dying to see it.
It was great. Yeah. It was so good.
That's another soundtrack I listened to a year ago.
Too.
Oh, my God.
I love on the Hamilton soundtrack, I love the King George song.
How funny is he? And yet, at the end of one of the songs, he's like, listen to me or I'll kill you and your family. He's like, whoa. Where did that come from?
It's so good. You know what I've been listening to, which is so geeky, and don't hold this against me, but I've watched all of Game of Thrones and I've read all the books.
Yeah.
And I read a little bit, it airs on Sunday nights. It's not on right now, but it airs on Sunday nights. And then on Monday afternoons, when I'm eating lunch at my desk, when I have my sad desk lunch, I'll read like the recap on Vanity Fair, New York Magazine, because you miss so much in that show.
You do.
So I was reading a recap and it mentioned a podcast about Game of Thrones.
And so you've been listening to that.
It's called A Cast of Kings. And it's so good because it recaps the show. And then they talk about the two co-hosts talk about like their feelings about the show.
It's great.
And I'm like, oh my God, I thought the same thing. And it clears up so much because in a show like that, it's so complicated.
It is.
There's so many different characters.
Yeah.
And they'll talk about something that happened in season one. I think we're on season seven now.
Seven, we just finished, yeah.
And plus there's books. So I've read the books and sometimes it's hard to remember, did that happen in the book
right.
or on the show?
But you realize season seven happened in no book. They yeah. went off, oh, I know. Off, I know. Off book. Right.
But they use some stuff that happened in the books that wasn't on the previous seasons of the show that they're now kind of having those things happen on the show, but it was a different character in the book. So anyway, if you watch Game of Thrones, I highly recommend this podcast because you can kind of, I don't know, it's just really good for working out like, oh yeah, that makes sense now.
I love
things
it.
That you didn't really understand. So it's called A Cast of Kings.
I love it.
And we'll link to that in the show notes. So now let's get to your word of brilliance.
So my word of brilliance today is cashless. And the reason why I brought that up is because
I'm usually cashless.
Yeah, cashless. I think we can all relate to that. But no, I'm not talking about cash and cash flow in your business. I'm actually talking about cash in Sweden. And the reason why I bring that up, because I've written about this elsewhere, Sweden's retailers now in Sweden have reported, there was a large report that just came out, 20% of the retailers or 20% of the transactions going through retail stores are now cash. 80% are non-cash. And that number has gone down by 100% over just the past few years.
Really?
In 2010, the Swedish government and the banking system decided that they were going to try and eliminate most of the cash in the country. Recent news is that in the UK, there are the £10 notes now are like plastic currency to give it more life to it. But in Sweden, this is a country that is smaller. It's only 10 million is the population. They are more open to change. They have more trust in their banking system, right? A bunch of ignorant people. But okay, they have more trust in their banking system. And they're also more technologically savvy in Sweden. And what they've done is most small business owners now and small businesses are not taking cash. They have reduced the amount of currency in circulation, but again, by like 80% in just the past 7 years. And the country itself is heading in that direction. And now I see over in the US, there are some stores like Sweet. You ever go to Sweetgreen's? Sweetgreen,
yes.
Right? It's great. Yeah. You can go there, get a, you can pay $57 for a salad, which is fantastic. But it's a Saudi kind of place. They don't accept cash. In their stores, you have to use a credit card. Now, I've always been, you need to make sure that you are giving your customers every available option that whatever they want to pay in whatever cash they want, credit card, you've got to be ready to take that.
Yeah,
so I don't know if I'm ready to go completely cashless in that way, but this is one country right now that is really heading in that direction. And many small business owners there are realizing that they can succeed and do fine in a completely cashless
society. I wonder, is that better for the environment?
Well, yeah, not only is it better for the environment, it's also better for the safety. The less cash that you're handling in your business, the less prone that you are either to employee theft or somebody coming in and sticking a gun to your face.
Yep.
On the other side, though, a lot of business owners, particularly I would imagine here, I mean, I have a few clients myself that would really resent not having cash because when you do stuff cash, you don't necessarily have to put it all on your books.
Oh,
right?
Geez.
So there's
all right.
that going on. And then the second thing that's going on is there are fees. So people are like, well, fine if we go all cashless, but now every time I have a credit card transaction or a debit card, I got to pay a fee. So it's costing me more. So is that an issue? All I'm saying is that in Sweden, you would think all of those issues might have been a big issue for the small business owners there. Apparently not. They are adapting it and embracing it.
The Swedish are just cool.
They are cool.
They're also, I think,
and cold a lot, part, a lot of the year. It's very cold up there.
Yeah, very. Yeah. And they do that thing. I think it's called Higgy. Have you heard of this?
No.
Or Higgy?
Yeah.
So they really embrace the cold. So they just are like, let's put out a ton of candles and have fires and wrap ourselves in like cozy blankets. Like they just really, they think of the winter as a time to like hibernate and just like
read
and relax. And
they
everything.
Better.
So they like embrace it. But they're also one of the happiest countries.
They are. I mean, I think they have national health in that country.
Yep.
They have, you know, very good public transportation system.
Good education.
They I have, love
they
Volvo.
Just have less
Volvo's
worries.
Excellent.
Yeah. Volvo's a good car.
So the meatballs are supposed to be delicious.
Saab. Yeah, I had exactly. a Saab. I loved my Saab.
Saabs. Yeah, that's exactly right. Oh, we're getting all Swedish here.
All right,
but it's really a cashless society in Sweden has been taking on. The small business owners there have been embracing it. Whether or not that comes to the US, probably not to the same extent, but watch it.
So what is the lesson for small business owners?
The lesson
then?
For small business owners, and I've repeated this again and again and again, so I'm going to just say it again. For all of you guys out there that are only accepting cash, you are dinosaurs.
Yeah.
You are going away. So I'm not saying you have to give up cash entirely, but I'm telling you right now, countries like Sweden and other parts of the world are going completely cashless. So you know, you've got to wake up and accept that, you know, people, the millennial generation and people my generation, Generation X, I don't carry around cash with me anymore. So I'm not going to be going to your restaurant or your store if you can't accept my credit cards. This is
I've used this example before, but when I go to my hair salon, which I did last night, and they don't accept tips in cash, it drives me crazy.
It's nuts.
Because then I have to run across the street to the ATM with like wet hair and get cash out. And
drives me crazy.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. We'll talk to you in a couple days. Thanks, Gene.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Gene for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.